Welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. We are a podcast for children's pastors by children's pastors. Here is your host, Todd Hixenbaugh.
Check, check, one, two. Todd is on the mic. I am your host, Todd Hixenbaugh. Welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. I am so excited to be able to come and hang out with you today in your earbuds or headphones or what, or in your car or all the places that you can be listening to us today. Hey, this is a fun conversation with my friend Nick Blevins. He is from Community Christian Church. If you're going, Todd, that church name sounds kind of familiar. Well, you're not wrong. Lisa Melitti was another person who was a part of this preseason launch. She is the elementary director. Well, I brought in, and by the way, Lisa's is fabulous, and Nick would admit that, you know, she's basically the reason why their elementary ministry is as great as it is. But Nick is actually her boss. He is the next gen pastor there. Nick is a prolific podcaster himself through the Nick Blevins Family Ministry Podcast. He has a blog, a website. He is also one of the co-founders of a new company called Ministry Boost. It is a place where you can go and get all sorts of great content, coaching, online courses, all that kind of stuff. Nick is just great. Listen, my friend Amanda Gordon, she is launching a podcast called Driven by Women. It is launching on March 1st. It is going to be great. It's a podcast that is all about conversations centering around networking and helping women to be able to build community and to be able to improve together. She's having a big launch party for this thing, which is crazy. They're basically going to a restaurant, giving away free stuff. She's got sponsors already for this thing that are helping her to give away free stuff. You're not going to want to miss this thing. That podcast is coming out on March 1st, but right now the best thing that you can do, since we're 1 week away from this whole thing happening, is you can go ahead and follow them on Instagram, her and her friend Hannah. You can follow them at Driven by Women, OH is their Instagram account. OH like for Ohio. That's right. I live in Ohio, so do they. And yes, if you're wondering, when I'm recording this, I'm looking out the window right now, and it's very cold. It just looks dreary outside. But it doesn't have to be dreary because we're having a party in here. Where else would you want to be? Listen, make sure that you subscribe so that you never have to miss out on this party. I only listen to the podcasts that I'm subscribed to. Reason is because a new podcast episode comes out. It's right on my phone. I get an update and it tells me, Todd, you goofball, you need to go and listen to this thing. So guys, ladies, gentlemen, please subscribe to this podcast so you never have to miss another episode of hearing the doleful sounds of my voice. That's just weird. And then, again, I know I've been saying this, but truly, it is an honor for me to know that you are taking the time out of your day. You're also taking, this learning time for yourself, and you're listening to a podcast that I'm producing, having these conversations, and it doesn't escape me, and I'm so appreciative of it. If you ever wanted to be able to pay me back for that, if you ever wanted to just be thankful for that or show gratitude, which you don't have to, this is all for free, this is all for you, but if you wanted to be able to do that, best way would be to leave a rating and write a review. You can catch this podcast on iTunes, through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and you can follow us on Spotify. Those are all the places you can do that. You can leave a rating, write a review on all those places. It really does help the podcast. It helps us to gain more exposure so that more people can learn and grow as they're part of this conversation, as they hear these conversations. Now, Nick is going to talk to us today about coaching, the importance of improving. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his experience through getting coaching from people like Tony Morgan, the unstuck guy, like the unstuck church guy. Yeah, This is going to be a great time. So excited to be able to bring my friend Nick Blevins on the show. Let's do it, baby. Well, Nick, hey, welcome to the Herding Cats podcast. I'm so glad to have you on. I'm excited about this.
Me too, man. It's great to do podcasts with friends, right? It's great to do podcasts anyway, but it's even cooler sometimes to do it with friends, yeah.
I totally agree with you. And we've been trying to get this to happen for a while. It's been over a year. You and I keep talking about, you know, finally doing something. And so now, you know, it's the highlight of my day. It's the highlight of my day. It's just so great.
I think you're overselling it. I think that's what's happening. Probably. Actually, we did try to do it before for your Learner's Corner podcast.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have to come back to that. We'll see.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Well, I blame that on Caleb. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I do another podcast. My co-host's name is Caleb. I'm blaming it on Caleb. So shout out to Caleb.
He's not here. That makes sense.
We're blaming it on him. Well, hey, one of the things that I know that is incredibly important to you, Nick, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk with you about today, is that your heart beats for helping individual churches as well as people who are leading within those organizations to get better at what they do, and particularly as it pertains to leadership and family, next-gen ministry, family ministry, and in those areas. And so that led you, because of that, that's led you to form an organization of your own with a couple of friends of yours. Tell us a little bit about Ministry Boost as we get started with this today.
Sure. Yeah. Ministry Boost is the name of the organization. My friends, Kenny Conley and Kevin Monahan, and I, were all three of us are next gen pastors, meaning our job is to lead staff at churches that oversee kind of birth through high school or through college. And we got connected years ago, attending conference together, and just became friends. And we've loved that, you know, kind of like you and I, Todd. We've loved having that friendship where we can call, talk ministry, vent. I probably have like messages from those guys of venting about something or whatever. And you love having those friends in ministry. But the thing that we started a few years ago, and so this is before Ministry Boost was even a thing, right? That name and that organization was started last year. But prior to that, we were doing kind of, with no name attached to it, some mastermind groups, which are really just coaching groups. Think 8 to 12 people doing a video call each month around the same topic. So we'd have like one for kids ministry, and we would kind of do them even by church size, student ministry, next gen pastors. And so we experimented with that. We even experimented with, we had a course that you could take called the Volunteer Playbook course that I created it with Lead Live. So we were doing some of that stuff, but not under any, you know, name or anything like that,
right?
Just kind of pushing it, using networks and getting people involved. And we love that. And so then last year we created Ministry Boost to kind of put it all under one organization. And then what we really did is we expanded the course offerings because we felt like those are cheaper, more affordable. A lot of them are on demand. You can take them on your own time. So the whole idea is that you could take a course or do coaching with Ministry Boost and go further faster, you know, learn from other people. Because I feel like that's what I do when I talk to you, Todd, or anybody else. It's like, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? What's working? Give me that. Tell me how you do it. Is there a document? You know, can you share that? And so I think the courses and the coaching just give a platform for that and the community, because far too many leaders don't have the friend that they can call and vent, or, hey, can you help me with this? Or I'm thinking about this. What do you think? And so the community's been big too.
Yeah. And I can attest to that just because I went through Volunteer Playbook with you. I took all those resources. I still use them today. As I was telling you beforehand, I'm actually going to have a conversation with somebody later and use some of that stuff. So yeah, no,
the key is you got to improve it and then give it back. So you know what I mean? Like,
so we've got to keep it. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Exactly.
I'll
never stop taking other people's good content, even if it started. Here's what we know is true. What you got from the Volunteer Playbook, like 70% of it probably I got from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just packaged it, used it in our ministry, and then shared it again. I mean, very few things are original.
Which is the beauty of what you're talking about with community and coaching and being able to have people that are kind of your go-to people, which I think that's great. Definitely.
Yep.
Well, one of the things that you've instilled in me, so a couple of years ago, I just sent you a blank, like a cold email. And I was like, hey, I listened to your podcast and I think you know stuff. And so we just started doing a monthly phone call. That's how our friendship started. And you really instilled in me this desire to continue to grow and to learn. And I know that you've gotten that from somewhere. So can you talk to us a little bit about coaching and specifically with your personal experience with being coached and kind of what that has looked like for you?
Sure. So when I started serving, I didn't start out of college ever thinking I was going to work for a church. I always thought I'd volunteer. In fact, growing up in a church, I volunteered in a lot of different ways and always thought I'm going to go work. I got a degree in information systems management. I go work for a defense contractor, which I did, and I would just volunteer. And so I loved ministry. I just didn't think I'd work full time in it. But then a new church plant was starting, and I was passionate about seeing new churches start in our area. I live in Maryland, and the reality is there just weren't a lot of healthy churches. It's not like it is in maybe other parts of the country, and even now that's true all over the country. You know, church attendance is declining and all of that. But there just weren't. And even if I looked at like the last 10 years, you couldn't identify new churches that had started in my area that were healthy and growing. But there had been a bunch that had started. They just weren't making it. You know, they weren't getting past 200 in size, which for them was kind of needed to be able to sustain financially. So we heard about this new church plant. They needed a children's person part time. And I thought, That might be good for me. I'm passionate about this. I've done a little bit of children's ministry, some student ministry as a volunteer. I had led our upward basketball thing as a volunteer, if you're familiar with that, in my home church. And so there was some experience there, but most of it was I had been reading a lot from Andy Stanley. We're talking about 2003, 2002, something like that. Been to North Point, seen like what they were doing and wanted to see some of that same approach in Maryland, which was essentially, how do you do church for people who don't go to church? You know what I mean? How do you create irresistible environments? And so as I started working for our church, I just wanted to learn as much as I could. I was reading all these ministry books. I remember reading, even though I wasn't doing youth ministry, Doug Field's Purpose-Driven Youth Ministry. I think I read that as a volunteer, actually, a couple of years before. Still such a good book. And in some ways, for me, it was like, wow, this is some great content out here. I remember reading so much John Maxwell. Yeah. I mean, so much John Maxwell, you know, leadership practical, because it was practical leadership. And I didn't realize till a few years later, you know, I took the Strengths Finder. Many of your listeners probably heard of that. And learner is one of my strengths. And meaning that I just love to learn. I didn't have that, I don't think, in high school. I remember not doing so well, you know, kind of. And then college, not doing so early on. But somewhere in the middle of college, switch flipped, and I always wish I could explain how that happened, because I have parents all the time who are like, oh, my son is not doing well. What did you do? How can they do a better job? Yeah. And I can't explain it other than I just had a desire to learn. So reading books, listening to podcasts, and we're talking, again, 10, 12 years ago. Sure. So there weren't nearly as much then as there is now. But the next step for me, I thought, was coaching. Who can I talk to? Who can I learn from in person? And the person I thought of is Tony Morgan, who has been a church leader for a long time, started the Unstuck group that helps churches get unstuck. Tony's worked in a number of different great churches. And I had followed his blog for a long time, probably 6-7 years at that point. And he, at that time, was still working for a church and doing some consulting stuff on the side, but he was doing these coaching networks. And I knew these coaching networks were not going to have children's or youth or next gen people in them. You know what I mean? Yeah. They were designed for lead pastors, executive pastors, and the like. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I want to learn. And there weren't a lot of those kind of groups. And so I jumped in. It was expensive. I want to say I paid $1,800, which is a lot of money. And my church's budget towards my development probably covered a third of that. So I had to decide that I was going to pay the rest of that out of my pocket. And that was all digital, so I didn't have to travel for that. So that was the extent of that cost. But it was such a great experience. I mean, there's so many things that I took from that. I even did it another coaching group with Tony again, probably 4 years later, and paid even more because he had to go there 3 times that year and do some on-site stuff. And again, I was the only one that wasn't an executive pastor or a lead pastor or whatever. And so most of what I learned and applied was kind of like at the whole church level. It wasn't just specific to children's or student ministry, but man, the principles are similar. And I care about my whole church, right? Sure. So like I always think with our whole church in mind. So those are two of the ways that I specifically got coaching. And man, it was great experience. And then when being a part of leading coaching groups as well, I still learn from everybody in the group. You know what I mean? It's not that different just because I might be the coach and others are in the group. So I'm thankful that I had that opportunity.
How did you, I don't know if you ever had this opportunity. I know that you, like you said, you do this you know, as a coach yourself now, but how have you been able to leverage some of those personal relationships that you got as being a part of that group or other groups to continue to develop, as you're developing these relationships, to continue to develop yourself and maximize your own growth coming out of those groups and out of those training times? How have you been able to maximize those relationships?
Well, I think what happens is you have, so, and there's two sides to it. There's a relationship with the coach, which is, let's be honest, that's a big reason a lot of people pay for coaching.
Right.
When I did Tony's First Coaching Network, I had read his blog forever, and I'd read, I think, most of the books he'd written. To be honest with you, 80% of the content that he covered, I knew because I had learned it from him other ways. But it didn't matter because the time in the group, the time with him, the access was more than worth it. And then the second time we changed it up, it was more of what you would think of a mastermind format, meaning people are kind of put on the hot seat and they talk about what's going well or what do you need help with. And so it wasn't content driven. It was relationship and conversation driven. So that was great as well. But I think the biggest key is, you know, I've emailed Tony a number of times over the years, done even calls with him. And again, it doesn't mean it's going to exist forever. You know, his time is precious. It's limited. Unstuck has been doing great things. And so that's growing. But I didn't have that access before. So I've emailed Tony like, hey, I want to get your thoughts on like guests in the church and what's healthy there, retention and all of that. And again, how many people do I know that could help me with that, that know that pretty well, that have worked with a bunch of churches? I can count them on one hand. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's valuable. The other thing that's valuable, though, is the relationship with the other people in the group. So our church launched a Monday night service 4 weeks ago. And one of the, and I found out through a Facebook group that I'm in from being in the coaching network with Tony, that one of the guys that was in my coaching group with Tony, their church launched a Monday night service. So I'm picking his brain. How'd it go? What's attendance look like? How's it sustained? And again, I would never be able to do that if I weren't in a group with them. Yeah. And it's one of those things where you don't know what you don't know. I wouldn't even have known they had a Monday service. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't have asked the question because I wouldn't have even known that somebody did that. And the same is true in the coaching groups that I've led, because again, I just learn from everybody in the group. So it's like, oh, wait a minute, you did that event for parents that went really well. That's great. What did you do? What did it look like? How did attendance go? How'd you lead up to it? Yeah. And so I find that stuff happens all the time. I might even see something show up on Instagram, a picture, and it's like somebody that was in a group with me. And sure enough, I'm going to email them. Hey, that looked awesome. Tell me about that. Yeah. You know, and just see if it's something that we want to do at our church.
When you're heading into these, whether it's a mastermind group or it's a more tailored specifically maybe it's a specific need you have, how are you evaluating what you want, what you need to learn? Like what are you looking at as you're evaluating what coach or what mentor or what group to belong to?
So like how am I picking which group to be a part of?
How are you determining what it is that you want to really work on and improve? Do you go in it with a complete plan of this is what I want to do? Or do you have a general idea of this is kind of what I'm thinking? And then you just kind of let it go from there.
That's a good question. I wouldn't have had that thought then. So like when I signed up for Tony's group, it was more like I want to get better access to Tony so that I can take the things I'm learning from him and then apply him to my church and get his thoughts on that. And then also learn from other people. Sure. And then too, even with that group specifically, I knew it was going to be conversations that were church wide conversations, right? Cause it was going to be pastors, executive pastors, the whole deal. And I wanted that now. And part of that is that, you know, as the next gen pastor, I've got that area that I lead, but also sit on our church's leadership team. So there's a voice into like our church's direction. And I think I've always been wired strategically, and I've known that Tony is wired strategically. So I think I looked at it like, I feel like Tony and I are wired similarly, and he's so much further down the road, so much smarter, so much wiser, so much more experienced. So I think that part was very intentional. Like, okay, I'm going to look to someone that is maximizing gifts that I hope I have, that I think I have.
Right.
He's actually doing it. He has the experience and jump in that way. But since then, I would say there's even examples where I probably have been more intentional because now I know what to look for. See, back then it was kind of like, I don't even know what to look for. I just know, you know, a lot of what I would like to know.
Right.
And you're wired similarly. Like I'm not going to go learn. I would love to learn from anybody, But the reality is I'm not going to turn into somebody that's a totally different personality type than me, right? That's a different, you know, leader, leads in a different way, thinks differently, is driven by different values. But Tony, I could tell we were similar enough. So that was helpful. But I think since then, a lot of it sometimes is even content based. So like when I'm, you know, the groups that I've been a part of leading, we are, they're usually role based, right? So it's a bunch of children's pastors or next gen pastors or whatever. And then you talk topics that relate to all of us, which is great. And so for me, I'm just thinking, hey, we're the same role. So we're going to have enough in common that as we do this group, I'm going to learn from you. And that's usually been true. The only time it hasn't, it's always been true, but there is something to, as best you can, it is nice to get close to the context. Like if you're in a group, like that one group I was in with Tony, it just so happened all of our churches were very close to the same size, which was unique. You can't guarantee that, but it helped. Is it necessary? No, you know, because I've been in coaching groups where you've got everybody from 200 to 5,000, but it is different. Like I always refer to Tim Keller, wrote a great article on church size culture and how different churches are of different sizes. Like the church of 300 is so different from the church of 3,000. So some of that, I think, if you can get it in the similar context, it's helpful. But man, you also learn from people that are, you know, their church is twice the size of yours, your church is half the size of yours, because you just forget things. You don't know things that you haven't done, and you forget things that you used to do. So it's all helpful. But I look for kind of like similar role, similar context, and that's how I, you know, would pick a group to learn from.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do actually is now I'm in a church now of about 1,200, 1,300 people. And one of my favorite things to do is I used to work in a small church, and I love talking with people who are doing children's ministry, because I work in children's ministry, obviously. And I love talking to people who are at these smaller churches because they're more creative than we are. Like, because they have to be. They innovate more than we do. So, I agree with you. I love being in groups.
Well, and they also, Tim Keller's article talks about that too, where, and everybody knows this. I think the problem is when you demonize one or you make one better. But the reality is they all have strengths and weaknesses. So you're probably better relationally in a small church. You know what I mean? There's probably, so if you like to feel more connected, like you know everybody, you're going to like a small church.
Yep.
If you want more options, you might like a larger church. Right. And again, it's some of it's preference. You know what I mean? And the thing I always watch out for, we actually give that article to folks at our church if they're like when they come and they're new, especially if they're church, we will actually give them that article, because what we're trying to communicate to them is because you'll hear a phrase. Hey, we went, and they'll mention the church that launched our church, probably the largest church in my state, 6,000 people now. And we don't have those. Okay. In Maryland, you know, we don't have, we have probably one or two of those. And they'll say, hey, we went there, but it's just too big. And it's fine. That's fine to say too big. If you mean big is bad, though, that's not okay. And if you said the same thing about a small church, it's just too small. In preference, that's fine. But if you're saying that that's bad, that's not fine. You know what I mean? So that's where, like, we'll give that article out, because it's completely fine, I think, to have a preference. It's not fine to demonize one or, you know, elevate another one to say it's right or better, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, it's my church size soapbox. Sorry.
There you go. No, hey, no, I agree with you on it. I think that's great. I actually, maybe once we get off here, I want to ask you a little bit more about what other things that you hand to people when they first come to your church. It's a little interesting.
That's definitely not like you always get it. That's more, and I lead our new here class at our church a lot. Mostly because I'm the most available guy during services. You know what I mean?
Because here's the dirty secret about next gen ministry. When you become the next gen pastor, you actually don't do anything. That's the secret. You actually don't do anything.
I wish that were true. What is really true is you do a lot of random things. Like my friend Kenny that you mentioned was a preschool director for like a year, preschool ministry director. So, you know.
And Kenny's like, there's what, 6'7"? I'm leading our. How tall is Kenny? Yeah. He's so
6'4",
big.
I think 6'4". Yeah, we call him Jolly Green Giant.
He's bigger
sometimes
than that.
No, he's. I think he's 6'4". To me, though, I'm short. He probably looks 7 feet. The what were we talking about there? Oh, like some of the stuff we give out and new here class stuff like that. I like even now though, as a next gen pastor, I think it's one of the benefits of the role actually is that you can plug holes, you can fill gaps.
Yeah.
So definitely. Kenny is filling. He was the elementary pastor for a year. Then he was the preschool person. Now he's hired that role. He can finally do his job. I'm leading our welcome team for kids. It was led by a super volunteer who moved in to be a small group leader, which is awesome. but now I'm leading that. So I'm so tied up on Sunday mornings now. Yeah. But for a season there, I wasn't. And I would lead our class. And we have a lot of stuff we just do like any church does that's normal. But we do have a few resources that are kind of like go-tos. Like if you said something or if you had a question, mm-hmm. like if somebody said something about church size, like, hey, we have a great article there in the back. Sure. You might want to check out. It's called this. So, and I mean, I love that. I think every church leader should read that article. Keller's a genius, as you know, but he's like so smart, that article. Man. He is. And that article is really helpful.
Yeah.
Now people are going to have to get it. We're going to have to give it to them. Somehow.
Yeah, we're going to have to, you're going to have to send that to me and I'll have to put it in the show notes because people are going to be like, okay, what are they talking about?
Right. Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Okay. That'd be perfect. Well, I wanted to switch gears a little bit. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, what you're trying to learn on a personal level, but now what I guess I wanted to get into is more of, all right, you go to this thing and now, you know, you're leading a team of people. And most people, whether or not it's paid or if it's volunteer, you know, in kid ministry in particular, you're leading other people. So when you are doing this stuff, is there anything that when you go that you're trying to prioritize to bring back to process with the team? Like, is there an element of that where you're like, okay, I'm going to go learn kind of for the group? And if so, like, how are you prioritizing and what are you looking at with that?
I would say I'm just thinking it through. I don't think in the moment, what can I take back to the team? I probably should. What I actually think is, what do we need to talk about? What might we need to apply? What might we need to change? And then the next logical step is go to the team.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a kids pastor, like I was not leading any staff, there's a tendency to not think that way because you don't think of a team. You think of you.
Right.
And you're like, well, I'm going to go back and I'm going to apply it. But that would be a huge mistake. You got to have a team. So for me, what that looked like when our church was whatever size and I was leading, I don't even know how many volunteers, but there was no staff. I had a leadership team of volunteers and we would meet once a month. It was probably 60-70% just me investing in them and their leadership and helping them grow. And then, you know, maybe 20-30% just them helping me with ideas and creating things and evaluation and all of that. And then there's a measure of just community. It was great to have this tight-knit group of people that would come together. And we didn't meet every month. We'd take off December. We'd take off 2 or 3 months in summer.
Right.
But it was essentially a monthly group. Don't get me wrong. It was an extra commitment. And I would think about them. So I would go to a conference and I would write down all these different things. And I'm always action-oriented. So I wouldn't come back with like, hey, that sounded really cool. My action item would be, we should do this. We should figure out this.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't necessarily have it all figured out down to the plan, but we should do a better job here. And so then I would come back, and usually what I like to do is you got to process that with the team. You can't come back, hey, I heard this. It's great. We're doing it. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like they got to get the same vision and feel the problem that you're trying to solve just like you do. So I would, you know, let them read something. I would teach it. I'd let them listen to something. And then we'd learn that together and then attack the problem together. So that's kind of the way I've thought about it. I don't really sit there and think, what can I bring back just to teach them?
Sure.
I do some. It's usually though, what do we need? What do we need? Where can we improve? Where could this help us? And then that next logical step is, okay, how do I do this with the team? How do I process this with the team? I have thought it a little bit. Like I was just at Next, a small gathering, Orange Does for Next Gen Pastors, and Reggie Joyner shared these 5 questions that kind of like every small group leader, every kid could be asking that's in a small group, every kid or very, very practical, helpful kind of things. It really is almost like an exercise in empathy in a sense of like, get yourself in their place, understand what they're thinking, what they're feeling. How can they be known? That's probably the way to categorize it. And I definitely thought, I wrote them all down and I thought, this is a training. This is a really simple training for our small group leaders that we should do. So there's sometimes that pops up, but it has to be that clear. Usually it's not that clear. Usually it's like, oh, we should do a better job there. I don't know what that means, but let's go talk about it and figure it out.
No, I know. I totally get that. I do that whenever I go to conferences. I guess I do the same thing that you do where I'm going. And my first thought is, oh, that's something that we need to do a better job at. Yeah. I just think it would be helpful to be thinking that way so that you could be strategically going, okay, here is this, and this. We can really talk through this. And this thing could be a training. This thing could be a great talking point that could lead to other things. I just think that would be a helpful thing. don't know.
I will say, I do think if you were not, so like I mentioned, learner is one of my strengths. I feel like it comes natural in the sense that I love to learn, listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't read as many books as I used to. I used to be a lot better at reading, but now these stinking podcasts taking all my time.
You make time for what you make time for.
Yeah, audiobooks are great and all that stuff. But so I still learn, you know, a lot. I just feel like the what I'm learning from is different, you know, in terms of what I'm taking in. But if that's not you, if you're like not the natural learner, if that's a discipline, if you got to work at that, and or if you're not a natural like developer, which is a lot of people, right?
That's
people. You're a good leader, but you're not necessarily wired up to go help coach that person to help make them better. So when you look at your volunteer team, you don't get excited about the idea of I got to do a training for them. Now, some of you do, and that's how you know you're wired that way. You like it. Some of you are like, oh, I got to do a training. What am I going to talk about?
It's a checkbox item. You got to go back to your boss and say, we did this many training. Yeah.
And it's okay to be either way. It's okay to be naturally wired to love it. It's okay to not be. If you're not, what I would say is I would be more intentional when I'm learning at a conference, podcast, and a book to be thinking, how can I use this in a training? Mm. Because if you're not a natural learner, developer like that, then you'll sit there and say, hey, I got to do that training. I don't know what to do. And then you'll start digging for stuff, searching online, right? And it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get. Whereas if you can constantly have that mindset of, it's kind of like a preacher, like everything can become a story. You know what I mean? If you can get your mind to the point where, you know what, I'm going to save ideas. And I used to save, I still do this. I'll save ideas in Evernote or even if I am teaching in some format and I know what it's going to be about. Like after we're done here on the call, I got to brainstorm something out. If I'm teaching and I know what it's going to be about, man, I'm saving ideas in a document just for that day. It may never even be used, but it might be. Yep. And I think you gotta take that same approach if you're going to train your team, is be thinking, how could I use this, you know, to train my team? How could I repurpose this content to help them?
100%. I totally agree. This is something that I've oftentimes wondered, because I think that we think, especially when you're in ministry and if you're leading people, you know, if I pay them, like if the church pays them, then I have license to coach them and to help them to get better. But one of the gray areas that people oftentimes kind of shy away from is coaching and helping volunteers to improve in what they do. So what I'm curious about is, how do you handle that, or how do you have your team who are paid staff, how do you have them coach and lead volunteers in such a way to help them improve? Because I think it's just something that's different for everybody. I think it's a little bit different for everybody in how they approach it. But I'm just curious to see what you do specifically.
Well, I would treat volunteers, and particularly top level volunteers, like your best leaders, people that lead other volunteers, if you have that kind of structure going on, you treat them like staff. So we have coaches, we call them coaches. They lead teams of leaders who lead kids. So they have, our phrase is, we want coaches to lead like staff. So people will often ask, what do you do to train coaches? We train them with the same things we train staff. And so sometimes for me, I was part of creating the training that we did with staff. Sometimes I wasn't. And we do something, like if our executive pastor maybe came up with it, and we work on a lot of that together, but there might be something he has idea-wise. In fact, this Wednesday, our pastoral team is all going to learn from a guy who kind of does grief share for us. He is just great with anything pastoral care related. He's a volunteer, but works in that field. And he's just going to help our staff. And you can bet I'm going to be sitting there thinking, what from this should be passed on to our coaches? Mm-hmm. Because we want them to lead like staff. We want them to pass to their people. So what can I pass on? So I would totally remove the assumption that people don't want to be coached, or they can't be unless they're paid. Now, some people don't want to be coached and they don't want to lead a higher level, and that's fine. You don't invite them. You know what I mean? Or if you invite them and they say no, okay. But man, I find a lot of people are hungry for it. You know, where else can you go be developed? There's you think of Daniel Pink's book, is it Drive?
It's Drive.
And he talks about the three things that drive you, and it's autonomy, that you can do this on your own, mastery, that you can become really good at it, and purpose. Well, think about ministry. Autonomy, maybe. It depends on the freedom you give leaders to lead. Purpose, we have the best purpose, the most important purpose in the world. Right. So if we're talking about it correctly, that's easy. Mastery, though, people want to become masters, probably not in that term, but they want to become really good at what they do.
Right.
And like if you went to me when I was working at that defense contractor, you know, whatever, 14 years ago, even then, if you'd asked me, what do I want to be really good at? If I were, I'm trying to think back to that time and see how I'd answer that. But if I were thinking the way I should have been thinking, my answer wouldn't have been, I'll be a really good project manager for this company. My answer would be, I'd do a good job at project management in this job, but I'd be really good volunteer serving in my church, making a difference where it really matters. And I think defense matters. You know what I mean? I think making money to support your family matters.
Right.
But man, nothing like that. So I think in a perfect world, if you cast the vision right, volunteers will see that for most of their jobs, the church work is more important. Mm. Are there some exceptions? Sure. But for most of them, the work they could do volunteering 5 hours a week, 3 hours a week, like I think of our coaches, could be more important kingdom-wise than the work they do during the day at their job. And that's okay. It's not like that means right. that doesn't mean that work is bad. And it certainly would have been true for me. So I think you assume people want to learn and grow and be developed. If they don't, okay, they self-select themselves out of it. That's fine. But the ones that do, man, you invest in them. And here's another caveat. I won't go too far down this road, but we all get frustrated by the volunteers that don't show up to trainings. And you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
I think you should care about that. You should talk about it. You should set the expectation, hold them accountable, but don't lose sleep over that. Invest in the ones who do care. The effect of that, the exponential effect of that is what you're going to go for. You're not going to get better by making this is going to sound terrible, the bottom 10%, you know, 10% better. Your ministry will get better by taking the top 10, 20% who are invested, who care, and making them 10 or 20% better.
Right. That just brings to my mind, I'm just thinking about, those when you say self-select out. When they do that, they are kind of self-selecting themselves out, though. Like, there is a reality where they are kind of showing, well, this isn't a value. And so you're right. Instead of dwelling on that, you can really double down then on the people who have opted in and who are raising their hand for that. That's a great point.
Yeah, there's this is funny because it all comes together now. So years ago, one of the little things that I learned that I wanted to bring back to that leadership team was I'd heard Patrick Lencioni on the Catalyst podcast. Mm. Okay, the Catalyst podcast just celebrated like 500 episodes. I know,
the Catalyst podcast is the GOAT.
Yeah, they were doing it before anybody in our world seemed like. And so here's how this will tell you how long ago this was. I think that episode with Patrick Lencioni, that one back then, was like episode 52 or 54 or something like that. I mean, it was like end of year one. Anyway, in there, the host, Ken Coleman at the time, asked Pat, hey, the people listening to this primarily lead volunteers. What would you say to them, you know, about leading volunteers and all that? And basically the message he had was raise the bar. Yes, there are people who will be lower commitment and your temptation is to lower the bar to accommodate them and keep them because you're afraid you'll lose them. But don't raise the bar. You will lose some of them, but you'll gain better leaders who care more, who are more invested, and you'll stop frustrating them because the low bar just frustrates them. And what's funny is, right. So the one that was just a great principle, but that was an example of something I took. We played the 3 or 4 minutes of it at the leadership team meeting and we talked about it. You know what I mean? It was like that simple,
right.
practical way of developing my team was, oh, this sounded great. I'm going to play that snippet and we're going to have a conversation about how we can do that in our ministry.
Right. Love that. Well, Nick, hey, I really appreciate, you know, just everything that you're doing through Ministry Boost, what you do in your own ministry at your church. But I wanted to give you just a space to be able to plug Ministry Boost and kind of tell us what's coming up and what we can be looking forward to.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Who knows what's coming up, Todd? It's not even a year in. I feel like we're experimenting with everything. We launched with, I think, 8 courses in the fall, and that was a lot of fun. Put 80 leaders through there. We have a partnership with Orange where we do coaching through Orange. So we don't do like the mastermind groups we used to do, but it's the same idea. We do U Lead coaching by role. So there's 3 new U Lead coaching groups launching now. So if people are listening, they want to get in. There's a kids ministry, a student ministry, and a next gen pastor one, as well as one for women who lead. And they're launching now. We in Ministry Boost, we kind of have a few different types of courses. We have ones that are kind of like on demand. They may release on a schedule, but the content's already pre-recorded and documentation's all there and everything. And those can be taken anytime throughout the year. And then we have kind of like live Some of them are live, like a webinar.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them are live, like a group call, kind of like coaching, where you get on the group call together with the instructor. And they go up in price accordingly, because some of them require more of the coach's time. So we've got right. like Cindy Fiala, good friend, who's amazing at partnering with parents. I mean, she's amazing at everything in ministry leading, but she's really great at partnering with parents and what she's created in the churches she's worked with. And she leads a course on a strategy for partnering with parents. And it's a group course where you're on there live. So we only launch those three times a year. We just launched the second time and had, I think we hit 90 students in courses this time, which is great. And then we'll launch again in May. But those on-demand courses, they can be taken anytime. It, you know, we got ones on volunteer onboarding, volunteer recruiting, things like that, you know, strategy for training your volunteers. And we're excited to launch some more of those. That's the part we're tinkering with, is we're messing with, like I was telling you before we started recording, we're messing with the pricing. We want to make it as accessible as possible to leaders.
Sure.
So we're talking about changing that. We're talking about other models that would give you access to like all of it, as opposed to just taking one thing at a time and then having to add that cost up, because we want to make it accessible to leaders.
Right.
And also affordable, you know, make a company that actually is somewhat profitable, because it's not right. right now, but eventually it will be. But that's not the main goal, but it's important. So we're excited because it's fun. It's like the early days. I feel like we're totally working on it as is developing. I think we had 11 or 12 courses this time. And so we're one of the things we're definitely going to do is launch more of these on-demand courses
mm-hmm.
that are even more affordable. Right. So like I think I mentioned to you, we're going to launch one probably soon after this podcast hits for $10. And
which
see,
is so crazy. Like for people listening,
is that helpful?
That's so crazy.
I think we'll do it for 25, but then for the launch, you know, we're going to just give right. you a code and you get it for $10, because part of it is we're experimenting. What is going to be helpful? What is the price point at which people can afford this, but that they'll also use it? Cause right. Like if you pay $5 or $10 for something, you may not actually follow through, and then we're not helping you. So, you know, what is that perfect place of you're invested, mm-hmm. but it's affordable and you'll use it? Because if you're not using it, what's the point? We're failing. You know what I mean? The whole point of the right. company is to help you take a jump in your ministry and, you know, make some progress in a shorter time period by learning from other people. So we're messing with all that stuff. It's exciting. It's a lot of fun. And I'm sure there's lots of changes coming, but right now we just launched the second round. Courses started last week. And so here we go.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Nick, if people want to find out more about you, where can they find you at?
Just my name, nickblevins.com. You can find me on social there. Twitter, Nick Blevins, same thing, Facebook, Instagram's N.A. Blevins, and at Ministry Boost. Like if you want to check out ministryboost.org, you can check that out. Courses, the U-League coaching groups are open. You know, these three new groups, they're launching this month. So you can still sign up for those, and on-demand courses are open, all that stuff. But yeah, hit me up on social media. You can contact me even through email, through the site if you want. You know, there's a form there you can contact me and let's talk. I love learning. I'm going to want to steal your ideas, though. Just got to know that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks, Nick.
You bet.
So after I hear Nick talk, and by the way, Nick and I have a great friendship, great relationship. After I hear Nick talk, like, I feel so inspired, and I just want to go out and, like, get coaching and stuff and just get better. If you want to do that, if you have that same response, you can go check them out on Ministry Boost. You can go into the show notes and get the link to that. You can go to their website. You can follow them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places. If you want to follow Nick and learn more from him, you can do the same with him as well. That was a fun episode. I really enjoyed that. Really loved that. I love learning from people. I love learning from Nick. Nick's a great leader and an even better friend. Yeah, so go ahead. And you can also listen to Nick every week on Tuesdays if you want. Nick has his own podcast called the Nick Blevins. I keep wanting to say leader. Nick, you need to change your podcast name to the Nick Blevins Leadership Podcast. I keep wanting to say that, but it's not. It's the Nick Blevins Family Ministry Podcast. You're going to want to go and check that out. Nick has great interviews with great people. And you're not going to want to miss that either. Hey, speaking of podcasts, this podcast, if you never want to miss another episode, go ahead and subscribe. This is our final episode of the preseason. Next weekend on Sunday, you're going to be able to catch us dropping another hot podcast episode, and you're not going to want to miss that thing. Best way to do that is by subscribing to the podcast. It's the best way to do it. If I brought you value, if you wanted to show your appreciation, your gratitude, your undying love. By the way, I joke, but really, I do appreciate that you take the time to listen to these things. It's just me with a microphone talking to friends, and I hope that it brings value. If you wanted to show gratitude, if you wanted to show your appreciation, you can leave a rating, write a review. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, all the places. Go leave a rating, write a review. It truly does increase the bandwidth that this podcast can reach people, to be able to help them to improve in their ministries and to be able to reach the next generation for Jesus Christ. Well, that was a marathon. Let's do it. I'm hoping, praying this weekend that your ministry would be enhanced through this podcast and through what you've learned here. I pray that, you know, you'd be able to use what you've heard, you'd be able to use what you've learned, whether it's through this podcast or through other mediums, to be able to reach the next generation for Jesus Christ. So until next time, y'all, deuces.
Thank you for listening to the Herding Cats Podcast. We hope you tune in next time.